This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
Toast.
Toast.
Right here. Right now. The most important thing in life will always be the
Movie Squad.
Salute me, familia.
Yes, welcome to the Movie Squad podcast, broadcasting from RTRFM 92.1, but available to download, subscribe, and stream to your heart's content on the RTR website or your favorite podcasting app. My name is Tristan Fidler.
And I'm Simon Morado.
And here we are with another sensational episode.
Yes, and you don't have to be in WA where we're recording it to enjoy it. You can listen to it all over the world. That said, today's episode is about the cinema of Australia, specifically a new comedy from writer-director Lucy Coleman, starring comedian Sarah Gall, called Hot Mess. We were lucky enough to chat with both these ladies when they were in town for the Revelation Perth International Film Festival, but we thought we'd share the interview now that the movie is about to debut at the Sydney Underground Film Festival on September 14th, ahead of a general release later this year. We had a good time in this conversation where we talk about what it means to be a hot mess. Tristan, do you feel that you fall into that category?
I often, I would say that maybe not in the sense of what the film means, but definitely feel like, particularly with the amount of screens that we have to see, rushing out the door, wearing yesterday's clothes, pulling whatever I can in order to sit down and watch movies that we can review for our listeners.
Yeah.
I always feel like, yeah, I'm just chasing my tail.
Look, today I was late to this very podcast. I was running to the recording studio with, I didn't have a coffee in hand, but I did feel like Anne Hathaway at the start of The Devil Wears Prada. So hot messes, I think we can all relate to them in some way. So please enjoy our chat with Lucy and Sarah, and then stay tuned because Movie Squad regular Janice Lorek is going to share her review of Hot Mess.
Who was your last guy?
Well, do you remember Barbecue Chicken Guy?
That was a year ago.
Was it? I read an article that said that a lot of people have a celibate year in their early 20s. It's a very healthy thing to do.
I am so glad we're going out tonight. We're going to get you fucked up and get you a guy.
I suddenly really want to go in.
Oh, my God.
That's a very good part.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
I didn't plan that. I think I'm just going to be, like, mad chill about it. Not get my hopes up. Like, whatever happens, happens. It's cash.
Nice. Mm. Yeah, no, good attitude, dude. Just try and stick to that.
When was your last message?
2 hours ago.
That's concerning. What did it say?
See you soon. And I ended it with two S's. I fucked it.
Ooh.
I fucked it.
We can totally do damage control. Just text them again.
Oh, my God! Shut up!
Tristan, have you ever been called a hot mess?
A hot mess. Simon, no. A lukewarm mess, maybe.
Okay.
But not hot, yeah.
That's not bad. Well, me either. But the good news is that we have some guests with us today who can hopefully make a declarative statement one way or the other. It is the director of the new film, Hot Mess, Lucy Coleman, and star of the film, Sarah Gall. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. It's really interesting to have people in here who have made a film, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but on the Movie Squad podcast, we are pretty happy to just criticize and to critique the work of others. But we have some questions for you about just the process of making a film in Australia, but I guess to kick off with, it'd be good to know what maketh a hot mess.
I would say lost, out of control, drinking too much, no sense of direction, making a tit of yourself. I would say those are somewhat of the general criteria. What about you, Seth?
Yeah, I would say acting like a teenager when you're not one. leaning on, alcohol and other things to satiate staring into the void,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, your film does kind of explore, I guess, a quarter-life crisis of sorts for, mm-hmm. for your character, Loz, mm-hmm. who is a creative person or wants to be a creative person, but is wondering if maybe the struggle is a bit too hard and maybe considering the life of a normie, you know, and settling down
How would you define a normie?
Well, it's kind of a nebulous term, I guess. So Lucy, this is a film you've written and directed, but Sarah, you are also a creative, a theatre maker and a comedy writer and performer.
Yep.
How autobiographical is this story for the two of you?
Yeah, so it's very autobiographical on my part. We had one of our screenings yesterday for RevFest, and it had been the first time that I watched it in a while, and I was like, why did you put all that in there? Why did you put that on screen? This is ridiculous. Yeah, it's very autobiographical on my part, and, you know, then sharing the script with Sarah, I'll let her explain the ways in which it touched her and...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to be honest, when I first read it, I was like, well, this is just me on paper, isn't it? This is my early 20s, summarised in one tidy feature script. But what struck me most about it is how, I hate to use this word, but authentic it is. A lot of time we see women portrayed in film as some kind of aspirational sort of character. So, like, she lives in New York, she has it all, she has an apartment, but, like, will she find a man? And this script really spoke to me because it actually represents my experience and the experiences of my friends, which is why, you know, I was really drawn to it. And a lot of the incidents in the film happened to me as well, like, you know, the rejection and being a creative and having no idea what's going to happen in the future because there's no clear career trajectory. So, yeah, really really spoke to me as well, but it's definitely Lucy's story, and she's very courageous to put it out there. I think a lot of people would sort of sanitize their own stories a bit.
Well, and also, you know, in comparison to the reign of blockbuster Marvel superhero save the world, you know, mm-hmm. that on one end is something that is kind of outside of our experience, but like waiting for a text from someone that you have interest in is means all the world and is like the bigger drama, the bigger challenge that we all, I guess, all deal with at one point or another in our lives.
Totally.
A row of girls at the screening yesterday were heard audibly shrieking when
Loz gets that response.
At one point, Loz is composing a text that she clearly shouldn't send because this guy is not interested in her. Spoiler. And this row of girls was audibly heard saying, do not send it. Oh, my God, don't send. Just don't. Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, she sent it. She sent it.
there's a long history, I guess, of, you know, movies of young men or men in general feeling rudderless or, you know, needing to get their shit together or pull their life in order. I'm wondering, were any of those films kind of influential? Did you feel like you had a history of movies to look to, or did you feel like this version of the story with a female lead, a young woman trying to get her life together, this story hasn't been told as much and we're sort of, you know, blazing a new trail here and we kind of have to sort it out for ourselves. How do you kind of approach the story?
Yeah. It's really funny, some of the references that I was leaning on. And they weren't... I really was sort of like... sort of structurally and in terms of like tone and performance style and writing, I was looking at sort of... when you were allowed to say that you were a fan, I was looking at shows like Louis... I don't know where we're all sitting now in terms of that conversation, but yeah, I watched a lot of Louis.
The room just got icy.
Everyone's
like, Lucy's cancelled.
Everybody's very everybody's
this
very
interview
confused
was recorded
now.
In late 2017.
But it's also like a benchmark for films about people trying to deal with their lives.
Yeah,
is like Woody Allen as well. So, you know,
completely.
Hard to bring up these names when they have such influence as well.
Totally. So I was watching a lot of Louis in terms of constructing scenes in the film. I was watching Sideways, Alexander Payne film a lot. There's some moments where I was like, how am I going to flip this scene from something that is sort of sad and cliche, and where am I going to find that comedic twist? And, you know, looking to things like Sideways and Louie, I was like, right, yeah, that's where those little nuggets, that, you know, where I found little nuggets of inspiration. But, you know, that's a TV show and a film about 50-year-old middle-aged yeah. guys. And then, you know, but I mean, of course, I think it's super obvious that that Hot Mess is pretty inspired by someone like Lena Dunham as well. So there were definitely women that had started to carve that path. And but for me, it was really sort of just... continuously pushing myself off the cliff of sort of being like, I really don't want to admit this. I don't want to put this onto page. I don't want to say that I did this or relay this experience, but you have to. There was, you know, very much part of my ethos is to kind of connect with that audience to sort of be like, we're all in this together. And it was like just a constant swan dive into being like, all right, if you die a social death making this film, then so be it. Yeah.
Well, now you've started to screen it, as you said, and there was that moment where you thought to yourself, oh, why did I put this on paper, on screen? Does it feel cathartic now? Does it feel like a demon was exorcised? Or are you still at the stage where, because it is getting a bit of a wider release in September.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can tell us about that. But where are you at the moment in terms of having put this all out there into the world?
Yeah, it's so weird. So a lot of the screenings are such a thrill because, and I die an agonizing death while we're watching screenings. Sarah knows this, that I'm like sitting there just like, oh my God, with like knots in my stomach and like clenching my teeth and just in agony. But I just sort of, you know, most of the time I'm watching it and, you know, it's really nice hearing the audience being so engaged and hearing them kind of along for the ride. And yesterday was the first time I'd seen the film in a couple of months with an audience, and it was painful. It was, I think there were moments where I was like one of the things that was going through my mind was like, your sex life was so fucking shit 5 years ago. Why are you admitting that? Why are you telling that to the world? And there was just, yeah, and I know one of the biggest scenes that really was a huge kind of battle in my mind as to how do I go about this? Is this an okay thing to write? Is it, you know, kind of a bit of a conversation between the guy, like the lead guy in the film and his mates instigate like a bit of a kind of like, bit of a racist, misogynistic kind of conversation.
It's very.
And it's, and it's, I, at the time I was like, well, that's kind of what went down. That was like, and I think that was a big one to be like, oh, holy hell. Like, how do I go about this? How do I write this without then making, like, to sort of be like, this is fiction. These are events that took place. And like, then also be like, guys, I'm not a bigot. The characters in the film are a bigot, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And so there's sort of all these like interesting moments. So I think I am at a point where I'm so proud of the film because we did it for hardly any money. I couldn't have asked to have worked with a better dream team. But it is just still so interesting every time watching it and still kind of, yeah, feeling all these like pains and twangs of, yeah, all these little moments and stuff.
Absolutely. Sarah, do you get that as well as the star of the film?
I mean, yes and no. So this is the second festival I've been at with the film. The first festival was Seattle, and that was a real thrill. You know, wow. My first time seeing it on the big screen, first time seeing it with an audience. And now over a year later, sitting and watching it, I, for the first time in the screening yesterday, you know, I didn't relate to what the character was going through, which I think means that, you know,
yeah.
In the last couple of years I've sort of grown up. I remember at our last screenings I was just like, oh, like, you know, I still feel this, but now I watch it and it's just, you know, Lucy said something yesterday that really struck me. It's the film's a time capsule into that period, that year of our lives. And, you know, we were both going through a lot of stuff and I look at that film and I just see, you know, our younger selves.
Yeah.
But mostly with the screenings now, I actually just watch the audience, as creepy as that sounds, because I find it really interesting to see, you know, the moments that get a really strong response, and, you know, then looking back to making those and workshopping them with Lucy. Yeah. It's really been a pretty incredible journey to actually be sitting in a theatre with people watching it. So, yeah, a bit cringe seeing myself, however tall I am on screen, like 10 foot tall or whatever, but, you know, worth it to you know, see people relate to the film and, you know, seeing people, you know, respond to it. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, Sarah, about, like, you've got a, you know, a history of performing in front of live audiences. You're a comedian, you've been on television, and then you're in this situation where you are the lead of a film.
Yeah.
What were the differences or challenges between, you know, what you do as a comedian and being in this film?
Yeah, great question. Thanks for the question. I'll take that as a comment. I watch Q&A. I'm politically with it. As my first feature film, I came into the film because Lucy saw one of my live musical comedy shows, and then we spoke afterwards, and she cast me as Loz. So it was my first time on screen, acting on screen. I think the biggest difference, obviously, between what I do on stage as a comedian and this film acting, as I learned through the process with Lucy's very excellent guidance, was just to tone everything down a bit. So on stage, you can be larger than life, and, you know, that works for theatre, but on film, it's a lot more subtle because the camera picks up everything, and I have a big sort of, like, theatrical face. So, you know, toning things down a bit and keeping it really natural was a big learning curve for me, and something that we worked on a lot in the workshops and the rehearsals that we did before going into production. And I think having the freedom to try something again if it didn't work was, as obvious as that sounds, that was huge for me. So if a take, you know, we need to do it again, or it didn't work, or something happened, it doesn't matter because you can just try it again. Whereas, you know, if something doesn't work on stage, you have to live with that for the rest of the time you're on stage. If something falls flat, you're like, well, I now have to come back from this. Whereas on screen, you can just, you know, wipe it and do it again, which was really, really liberating, I think, and really gave me, the as a performer, the opportunity to really experiment and, you know, try different things.
Before we wrap up, I do have to ask, throughout the film, Loz is working on a particular musical performance, and the subject is toxic shock syndrome.
Yep.
How was that settled upon as the, I guess, the recurring musical motif of the film?
Yeah. So I had written a monologue for a theatre production company back in Sydney, and had submitted it as part of, you know, a youth collection of work. And it wasn't selected because it was deemed too gratuitous and too crass and too crude and this and that and the other. And other pieces were selected that were about 17-year-old boys brutally murdering their grandma. And I felt, you know, as a feminist, I felt like a mass injustice in that. So when it came around to kind of then this character and the, you know, theatre piece of choice that she was working on, I was like, right, well, I've got this piece that I I still had a point to prove with. And then I sent it along to Sarah, who then whipped it into some fantastic shape with lyrics and music and all the rest.
And you get to have your revenge by performing it three times throughout the movie, I think, right?
Yeah. No, normally when I write songs, it's just similar to Lucy, it's something that makes me furious. So then I'll sit and write a comedy song about it, and that's where the song will come from. But, you know, this time around with this song, I was lucky to actually collaborate with Lucy, who sent me this monologue that I just adored. I just thought it was ridiculous and very, very funny. And then I, you know, wrote some lyrics, recorded some things, sent them to Lucy. Then we sort of sent it back and forth until we settled on this final song. But it still blows my mind to this day that, like, period blood, no, but, like, blood of dead grandma, fine. Yeah. What is that? That's crazy.
I think it's just so, I have three brothers, so I just get such a kick out of making men squirm at the mention of clots and other, you know, other lovely details about period blood. That just is...
Simon and Tristan have left the studio.
I grew up with sisters.
It's fun for me. So I still love hearing the, like, from the audience when those bits come on. Yeah.
Nice one. So can you tell us how people can watch the film in a wider sense in September?
Yeah, so... September, October, we'll be doing our general distribution around Australia. So we're going to be doing eventized screenings in Sydney, Newcastle, Melbourne and Brisbane. And then we'll also be basically just putting the film straight up on iTunes as well. So it'll be on iTunes, Google Movies and, you know, all and those sort of TVOD platforms.
You can follow Hot Mess Movie on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll be updating those with, you know, release dates and where you can watch the film and where you can show up to a screening.
Mm. Great. And the title again is Hot Mess, not Period Blood, No Grandma Blood, Yes. Which,
would have been that's suitable, the alternate title.
Suitable alternative.
Didn't get past the
tagline, though. Yeah.
And are you also working together again on any future projects?
Yeah, me and Sarah have worked on so many projects now. Hot Mess was just the beginning. We've since made a web series together. Sarah's been in TVCs that I've directed. Yeah, and we've definitely got more stuff.
We're always sending material back and forth.
Yeah.
Between each other. So it's an ongoing collaboration that is one of the best things that's ever happened to me.
Aww.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I wish I felt that way about you and me, Tristan, about our collaboration. Maybe one day.
One day, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and congratulations on the film.
Thank you for having
cheers,
us.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
I have a missed call from Dave. Missed call from Dave. Yeah.
Write the script that this man is going to pay you $20,000 for. Isn't this what you want, to be a paid writer?
Initially, you were my front runner. I have to let you know I am reconsidering my options.
I like you. Like, I really, really like you. For the first time in forever, I actually like someone.
How is it going with him?
Really good, I think.
How long have we known this guy?
Irrelevant.
So Hot Mess, it's an Australian film by Lucy Coleman, and it's about a 25-year-old woman living, working in Sydney, and she's basically dropped out of her commerce degree to pursue a career in the arts as a playwright. However, she is having a bit of a creative crisis, she's got writer's block, and on top of all of this, a new man enters her life. So, and kind of things go a bit awry from there. So this is absolutely an entry in the sort of quarter-life crisis genre, the sort of what it means to aspire to a creative life sort of a genre. Certainly when I was watching this, I think the references were very much the American mumblecore kind of movement. Mm-hmm. It is an Australian film by writer-director Lucy Coleman, but certainly if you're familiar with, you know, the TV show Girls or even something like Fleabag, for instance, their British comedy, this is absolutely in that vein. So it's kind of about this sort of struggling femininity or young women trying to find their place in the world, trying to work out, you know, how to live and how to be a feminist and all those sorts of things. And this is a really interesting one. It's absolutely a comedy, and the lead role, Loz, is played by Sarah Gall, who's a musical comedian. And one of the real strengths of this film is that it includes quite a lot of musical numbers.
Yes. From
in fact, stay for the end credits just because we get a full rendition of one of the songs that is just perfect. I really enjoyed it. So I think one of the real strengths of this, you know, film, I think, is when you compare it to other quarter-life crisis, you know, films, is that it's very good at communicating that sense of anxiety that you have when you're 25, that time is running out, which is completely absurd, of course. Like, oh my gosh, I'm running out of time. I have to get things together right now. But at the same time, that sense of urgency does not translate into any ability to actually pull your finger out and do the things that you want to do. You're just sort of floundering and procrastinating. And also I quite liked the sort of the discussion of the fact that, you know, in the struggle to actually achieve, this young woman kind of retreats into traditional relationships and romantic relationships as a way of kind of like, well, this creative thing is all too hard. I'm going to go for the like romance thing instead. So I definitely liked that part about it. But yes, Simon, I was just wondering, I mean, this is very much sort of about the female experience and you have seen it. I was wondering, you know, what did you think of this particular film? How did you relate to it?
Yeah, well, the parts of Hot Mess that I related to, as someone in that sort of creative sphere, or someone who at least, you know, studied and has been in those kind of situations as Loz, you know, there are moments that ring really true. Like, there's a sequence where she's got a residency, or she's working towards a residency, and she wants to, you know, sure, she's wrestling with the kind of story she wants to tell, and she's faced with her classmates who are producing really earnest and serious mm-hmm. Australian art and theatre, and it's so, you know, po-faced. It was actually a really hilarious scene. So there are all those moments where, you know, the idea of wrestling with a creative life that ring true whether you're male or female. And what I appreciated was, because I was a big fan of that mumblecore movement, the films of, you know, Greta Gerwig, who we've mentioned, Andrew Bajowski, Joe Swanberg, films like Funny Ha Ha, Mutual Appreciation, and Hannah Takes the Stairs. But a lot of those films, the issue was that they didn't really acknowledge their own privilege. And I think this film does. I think the acknowledgement that actually you're kind of lucky, or you should appreciate the quest for a creative life. There's value to it. I thought that was nice to see, considering mm-hmm. Hot Mess does come more than a decade after those other films.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tom, are you a fan of this particular quarter-life crisis genre, or would you prefer to, you know, like move on from that particular? Is it too painful to think about it?
No, I'm into it because I think it's a relatively new genre.
Yeah.
I cannot recall a lot of movies, you know, from sort of like the 80s backwards, where they're dealing with people in their 20s and taking these issues quite seriously and recognising that we do live these very turbulent lives that feel very unsteady at times. So I'm glad we have them there.
Yeah.
They're a bit of an emotional crutch.
And it does, look, and I agree that it takes a very long time to launch, you know, especially when you feel that other people are launching before you, you've got professional jealousy. I definitely think, as watching this film, that complexity of what it's like and that sense of anxiety is really well depicted in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I did think that some of the relationships in the film could be brought out a little bit more. For instance, she finds this love interest, which is quite a traditional man, you know, a traditional man with whom she could have a traditional life. And I thought perhaps his character could be drawn out a little bit more. He sort of became representative of something when perhaps he could have been a bit more complicated in terms of that, because I think that human relationships are one of the most interesting aspects of the quarter-life crisis genre, and the different ways in which we come into conflict with the people around us and our varying desires and things like that as well.
You know that feeling when you are mid-coitus with a guy and it's so intense that you have to, like, have a rest, and so you lie down on him and he puts his arms around you? I want that feeling, but all the time.
You want a boyfriend?
Yes. Now that you mention it, I want a boyfriend.
And thank you to Janice for reviewing Hot Mess. And even though it is us hosting the podcast and the show, Janice is a regular member of the Movie Squad podcast, and we are always thankful and grateful that she can share her expertise with us and the listeners.
Yeah, I defer to her opinion more than mine, even in that segment that you just heard where we both reviewed Hot Mess. Once again, if you want to see Hot Mess and you're in Sydney, you can catch it at the Sydney Underground Film Festival on September 14th, but it will be getting a general release after that. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you, Tristan.
Thank you, Simon, and thank you, everyone, for listening. And please remember, keep those reviews coming. We want to see, I don't know, 20 positive, glowing reviews, or even more. Surprise us, please. But look us up on the RTR website, but also on any podcasting app, and also Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to this RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. Visit rtrfm.com.au for more podcasts and other great content, as well as details on how you can support the station. You can also download our app and access RTRFM anytime and anywhere on your mobile device.